like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animal, talking animal, talking animal. Talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals. Happy International Women's Day. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest today is Mosho, the Portland, Oregon-based artist who specializes in rapping about cats. Mosho has become something of an online sensation, rapping about his love of cats, the joys of hanging with cats, the virtues of adopting cats, the minuses of decline cats, and so on. And of course, perhaps most notably of late, giving a cat a bath. All in such videos as Cat World, Love Your Cats, Cat Bath Rap, and more. Often appearing with his three sphinxes and an orange tabby, Tally, Sushi, Ravioli, and Mega Man. Roosting on his shoulders and heads, Mosho also lends his talents to making a video for the Oregon Humane Society promoting adoption of cats at the shelter. He just released his new single, Cat Wine, which we'll hear in a moment or two, after which we'll find out more about this cat rapper, his life, his career, his cats, when I speak with Mosho in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Later, I'll speak with Matt Burke, singer-songwriter of the great band Have Gun Will Travel, about their new music video for their song Good Old Shakespeare, which features photos and short videos of dogs submitted by their fans and friends. Right now, though, we're going to hear Mosho's new single. Before we hear from the cat rapper himself, this is Cat Wine. New music from Mosho on Talking Animals.
That's it, pull up all the time. That's it, pull up all the time. Yeah. Pull up all the time, we be drinking cat wine. Mix it with the beach and you know that we be fine. It's a cat world and you know I'm on my grind. Got a bunch of cats and you know we gon' shine. Pull up all the time, we be drinking cat wine. Mix it with the beach and you know that we be fine. It's a cat world and you know I'm on my grind. Got a bunch of cats and you know we gon' shine. Yo, pull up all the time, we be drinking cat wine. Got my cats in here so you know it's real fine. Cat lady right there, oh she so fine. Cat lady right there, know she gon' shine. Always on the scene, we always keep it clean. Always on the go, so we always on the green. Cats on my face, man, cats on my jeans. Cats on my face, boy, you know what I mean. I'ma keep on going, I'ma keep on showing. Drinking cat wine, baby, they be knowing. Hey, Morgan Cat World, baby, they be blowing. Hey, Morgan Cat World, baby, they be showing. Pull up all the time, we be drinking cat wine. Mix it with the beach, and you know that we be fine. It's a cat world, and you know I'm on my grind. Got a bunch of cats, and you know we gon' shine. Pull up all the time, we be drinking cat wine. Mix it with the beach, and you know that we be fine. It's a cat world, and you know I'm on my grind. Got a bunch of cats and you know we gon' shine. Up in Colorado, going for a throttle. If I got the cat wine pouring out the bottle. See me chillin' with my homie cat, that's Apollo. That's Apollo Peak, boy we laughin' like a geek. And we up in Denver, colder than the winter. Cutting like a ninja. Got the cat wine, we offend ya. Got the cat wine, we ascend ya. You know what I'm saying? Morgan. Cat World, Cat Wine, Apollo Peak, you feel me? Hey.
That was Cat Wine, the new single from Mosho, my guest today on Talking Animals. We're going to speak with him presently. So, with a reminder that I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj at wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Mosho to Talking Animals. Good morning, Mosho.
Good morning, man. What up? What up? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us. I know it's pretty early in the morning out there in Portland, so I appreciate you doing this with us this morning. And we just heard Cat Wine, of course, your brand new single. We'll come back to that maybe in a few moments, to other new developments in the Mosho world. But let's explore a bit of Mosho history. First of all, when did you first start rapping of any kind?
I've been rapping since I've been like 16. So I've always just grew up rapping, and I just grew up with a very musical background. So the music has just always been in me. You know, I feel like everyone is kind of like a musician at heart. So I made my first mixtape around the age of 16.
And what were you rapping about then as a 16-year-old?
I think I was lost at that time, you know, 16, not really sure who I was. So I think it was like the traditional things, like, gangster stuff and talking about a life that I didn't live because I wasn't, you know, I didn't know who I was at that time.
Yeah, well, that's a problem a lot of us have at 16, and some of us have it a lot later, too, but that's a whole other story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, now, am I right thinking that back then, or somewhere early on, you were also a James Taylor fan?
Oh, yeah, I'm a huge James Taylor fan. I grew up listening to James Taylor. My favorite song is Shower the People with Love, because I've always just been, like, an emotional person and always just been a loving guy. So, James Taylor has been just one of my, like, big heroes and someone been, like, a big idol to me.
Cool, because I don't think necessarily people that know your work as the Cat Rapper, et cetera, would necessarily have guessed that. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to James Taylor. I love you, man.
Okay, well, there you go. Hey, so Mosho, at 16, it was gangster rap and stuff that really wasn't real or authentic for your own experience. How did you shift into other topics? And I guess more to the point, when did cats enter the picture?
Well, you know, as we grow up and as I became older, it was just one of those things where I just started coming into who I was, and I started, you know, 16, you're young, you don't want to... You want to, you know, kind of fit in. So at that point, growing up, I started getting older and I started coming into my own stuff and I started standing up for what I believe in and started being who I actually was. I couldn't live a life or rap about things that I didn't actually do. But I'm a huge cat lover and I love cats. I grew up with no animals. When I went to college, I had met my girlfriend in college and she was a cat lady. She had a black cat named Queenie. She had her since she was 10 years old. And Queenie she's around like 19 years old. And when I would study, Queenie would sit downstairs and look at me study. And then as the months passed, she would get closer and closer. And then next thing I know, 3 months in, she's sitting in my lap. And then next one, cat fever just took over me. And I started adopting cats. And then 4 cats later, I've been making cat music. I've been doing this for the last 7 years. I'm not used to this attention that I'm getting, and it's been 6 years of, quietness and no one never listening to what I've done. And then one day I just wake up and everyone's loving what I'm doing.
Well, there's a lot there to address. First of all, just going back a moment from when Queenie was first sort of obviously, there was a blossoming romance between you and Queenie there. What were you studying in college? What were you looking or reading when Queenie was hanging out with you?
Well, I graduated with a BA in Information Systems Development, but I just like to say computer science because it's such a long title, but it's pretty much computer programming. That's what my degree is in.
And then have you found that techno training or background helpful as the Mosho online thing has really taken off? I mean, do you...
I think it just helped me out with just learning the internet a lot more and like, you know, applying like the things that I've learned from school. So it's like I know some things. So I would say it just helped me with not having to have that much help because I kind of have some hands-on experience of knowing what I'm doing with how I do my promotional stuff and everything as well.
Well, that's the thing. You're obviously very savvy with all the online platforms, and that's been a big part of the Mosho phenomenon, I guess, if that's the right word. So,
absolutely.
So was Queenie like just kind of a regular black cat? I guess what I'm curious about is where Sphinxes entered the whole Mosho situation.
Okay. Yeah, another thing that a lot of people don't know about me. So we have about 6 adopted cats back home. We have 4 cats here in Portland, but we have 6 adopted cats back at home. And Queenie was a part of that 6 house cat that we had back at home. Queenie was just a regular black cat. The reason why I got Sphinx is growing up, I grew up in a project in Baltimore City, and I've always kind of been this person of who I am. I've always felt like I was the oddball when everybody else was on the corner and hanging out. I wanted to be in the house listening to Daft Punk and just being in my own little world. I've always felt like kind of like an outcast. So when it came down to the Sphinx, Sphinx aren't that much of a popular cat, meaning Sphinx aren't the first cat that everyone's saying, hey, I want a Sphinx. So I always felt like, you know, Sphinx are the outcasts of the whole cat world, and with them not having hair, I don't have that much hair. I just felt like it was a connection, and I felt like if I was going to get any animal, I could relate to this one is the most, because I feel like we're both, like, I just feel like I'm a human Sphinx, if that makes any sense. Like, I was always the oddball, and I feel like they're the oddball of the cat world, and I just feel like we click, you know. And plus, it was my girlfriend's dream cat, and I wanted to make that happen for her. And three cats later.
So currently, of the four, three are Sphinx, and then there's like an orange tabby, right, Ravioli?
Yeah. So I got three Sphinx, and I have one Devon Rex. So I have Mega Man, Sushi, and Tally. Tally's the actual birth mom, and Sushi and Mega Man are sisters. So Tally is the mom of Mega Man and Sushi.
Okay.
Same litter. And Ravioli, we adopted him a year and 6 months later. So he's the youngest.
And so just to back up for a sec, Mosho, so when you say four with you now, those four you just mentioned, and then six at home, where is home?
Home, okay, so I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland. The cats now are in Delaware. The cats are in Delaware, back home.
Yeah. Okay, because you said earlier that you grew up without any animals, so I was trying to like track where home was or where the other cats were, since you sound like you...
Okay. So yeah. grew up without any animals my entire life. When I went to college, in the College of Pennsylvania, I met my lady. She lived in Bel Air, Maryland. So when I was introduced to, when I started experiencing cats, I was around like 22 years old. That's when I was introduced to cats.
Then it's been a instant huge love affair ever since, it sounds like.
Yeah, I was studying. It took a while. I was studying, and 3 months later, next thing I know, Queenie's sitting on my lap, and then I just developed cat fever, and it's been ongoing ever since.
Let me let folks know, by the way, this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. If you just tuned in, my guest is Mosho, who specializes in rapping about cats. Many of his videos, including giving his cat Ravioli a bath, have gone viral. If you'd like to ask Mosho a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, email dj@wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. So, Mosho, I'm curious, like, since you mentioned once or twice that you grew up without animals, and it sounds like the Queenie thing was kind of pivotal. Why do you think it was cats? How do you feel about dogs or other animals? Is it just strictly you and cats, and that's where the kind of magic is?
Well, I love all animals, to be honest with you. It's why cats is just cats was the first thing that I connected with. So that's pretty much all the formula is. A lot of my friends, in Portland, they have dogs. I love dogs. I love all animals. I'm just a cat man. It's just was the first thing I was introduced to. And, I love cats, a little more because, like, you have to work for that love. Like, so when I see a human and a cat walking down the street on a leash, or I see a cat really showing a human affection, I know that there's really a strong bond there, because it takes a lot to build that connection with a cat. So I just really feel like it's this hard love that you got to work at. And I love working at, I love hard working at things. So
yeah,
that's what it is with it.
Yeah, and if anybody that's seen your videos, I mean, you know, you can see that there's a real connection. So looking at it the other way, what do you think those cats love about you? Because there's obviously an unusual kind of relationship going both directions. I mean, obviously you feel very passionately about cats and love them, but they clearly feel unusually connected to you.
Mm-hmm. It is very odd. I've never been around cats that is so affectionate with their human in my life. They don't like me to leave the house. I think that what they like about me is I just think because of like the love connection that we have and everything that we do, we spend a lot of time together. We record together. We shoot music videos together. We go and walk together. I just think it's because we do everything together so much. This bond has just, you know, formed. If I walk into the house, my cats immediately just run and climb on my shoulder. Like, and it's not something that I trained. It's just a every day. I'm with my cats every day. This is my full time job. I'm with my cats 24/7, and I just think that just the time and everything that we've been through, we've literally just built a bond together. Like it's just an undeniable bond that we have that I really can't explain that much.
Yeah, it does seem like there's more than just the amount of time, because it does seem like you really, whatever you could cultivate with a cat, and a lot of people have strong connections with their animals and their cats. There does seem to be something yet another level beyond with you and your four cats.
Well, you know, these cats are all also, they're very, very high maintenance, so they don't have fur. So I have to give them, we have to give them baths once every 2 weeks. There's clean their ears, we have to clean their toes. They require a lot of maintenance. So I just think that it's just all of the time, you know, the babying and all of the pampering that I do with them. And it's just, we've just built a solid connection together.
It's so funny you would say that, by the way, Moshe, because I was thinking, of course, a lot of people really might know you from a number of things, but I think the bath video really seemed to put it to a whole another cat bath rap. But what I thought was interesting about that, and especially in light of what you just said, is that, that it was Ravioli, the cat with hair, that you were given a bath in that video, as opposed to one of the sphinxes.
Oh, well, you know, that's just the video that I just put out to the world. They, when it's bath time, all four are getting baths. So
I'm sure
after that video is done, Ravioli gets dried down, and then Sushi gets in, then Mega Man gets in, then Tally gets in. So people will see that soon. When I'm saying bath time, I'm meaning all four. Now, because Ravioli is a Devon Rex, he does have hair, but people have to realize that he only has his first coat of hair. So he gets oily and dirty just like everyone else is, as well. So he has to get baths just as the Sphinx has to get baths.
I got you.
His hair gets dirty and oily, and he has to get a bath as well.
When you connected with Queenie, and then we've got these four we're talking about, where along that path did you think, hey, I'm going to start rapping about these cats?
You know what? It was never a thought. This is just a man being true to who he is, loving everybody, having a bunch of love in his heart, and just fighting for positivity in the world. It was never really a thought. Honestly, I've been rapping with Sushi since he was 2 months old. I have videos so far as back as 2014 where Sushi is literally an infant, and I'm rapping. The first rap cat I started rapping with was my cat, Ollie, who's back at home. But me and Sushi have been rapping since she's been 2 months old, and it was never a thought. I always would rap in the house with my cat, and I just started recording it. So this is just people seeing my life of what I'm doing every day, even if I wasn't recorded.
Here then, I'm wondering, when was the first one you posted? If it wasn't really by design and you were just rapping, when did you... go ahead, sorry.
2014.
Okay.
Sometime 2014, I think, was probably one of the first ones that I recorded and put out to the world.
And what kind of response did that draw?
It drew some response, but to be honest with you, like I said, I've been doing this for about 6.5 years, and I'm used to, it's been about 5.5 years of silence. I never thought that people would love what I'm doing or anything. One day, I just still fighting for what I believe in and sticking to myself. I just kept putting out my material, and then 5.5 years later, it caught some wind.
And what triggered that? What was the catalyst, sorry, if you will, for doing it all these years, kind of just sounds like kind of below the radar, and then all of a sudden things took off? What was there a particular video that you pinpoint that with? Or
I would say, so I was living in Maryland doing the same thing that I'm doing, and then I had moved to Portland and still continuing my same, doing the same thing, moving to Portland, still cat rapping and stuff like that. And I think what jump started it is I had a fan for one of the news stations. They were a big fan of mine, and I got introduced to the fan who was a reporter, and they put me on news at KGW. And I think that's what, I went live on TV, and I think that's what opened up some doors as well.
And what do you think is the first Moshe video that really, apart from the news coverage there and the reporter interview on KGW, what's the first video of yours that you thought, okay, boom, this, now there's something, there's a phenomenon here that I may or may not have anticipated?
Well, I would say it was my first video, Blind Love. This is before Ravioli was born. It was a video that I put out called Blind Love, and there's another really famous cat named Oscar the Blind Cat, Oscar and Claus, and Oscar thought that the song was amazing because he's a blind cat, and they loved it so much, the owner shared it on their profile, and they had about, 300,000 likes to 200, had a big audience, and they loved it so much, and this was my first music video that I had done, and it had touched so many people. So that's how I had knew that, okay, well, maybe somebody is liking what I'm doing.
Right before we started talking, I played your new single, Cat Wine. Talk to me about that song, how it came about, and what it might mean for your career, et cetera.
Oh, Cat Wine came about, the company in Apollo Peak in Colorado. That came about, they was big fans of what I do, and I knew about the Cat Wine and everything like that. And we were just huge fans, and we just started vibing, and I love what they was doing, and I'm really, really big on supporting people in the cat community. And I really, really was inspired by what they was doing, and that brought on the song Cat Wine, and we teamed up together, and we made some magic happen.
For those who may not be familiar, what exactly is Cat Wine?
Oh, Cat Wine is an awesome wine that is mixed with beets. There's non-alcoholic beverage, and it's for you and your cat. You can drink it, and your cats can drink it. It's also for dogs as well. So it's non-alcoholic. It's mixed with beets, and it's great. Cats love it, and dogs love it.
And do your four at home enjoy cat wine?
Yes, they do. They do enjoy it. I give it to them as a treat.
That's great.
That's how we celebrate. Yay, we finished a new song, Forky Cat Wine.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah. Cool. Now, how does that taste to a human, the cat wine, or is it strictly for cats?
A human can drink it. It's not a bad taste at all. Not 100% the greatest taste in the world, but it is good enough for you to drink.
Okay. Sounds like sort of a lukewarm recommendation there for the humans, but I got you. So
a great A, 100% for the animals.
All right, well, let's take a call. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Mo Show.
Hey, I love Mo Show.
Cool.
What a great idea to have him on your show.
Yeah.
I've been following him for a couple of years. I'm from Portland, so I live here in Tampa Bay now, but I follow a bunch of blogs coming out of the Portland area, and I've seen his videos, and I think it's great that you're having him, but it's kind of too bad we can't see the videos, because that's really what makes this such a cool, very loving experience from this beautiful man that you have there on the line. So thank you, Mo Show, for this wonderful gift that you have given us.
Well, I appreciate it. Before you go, I mean, I agree, and I hoped and figured with some of the Facebook posts and stuff that I did promoting his appearance this morning that people would, and that's actually happened, would sort of track down the videos. They're very easy, of course, to track down, and there's many of them. What's your favorite Mo Show video?
I think the one that came out during the Christmas holidays was great. I was wondering what part of Portland Mo Show lives in.
Mo Show?
What part of Portland? What part of Portland do I live in?
Yeah.
I'm close to the, I'm in, like, Northeast, so I'm close to the, Laurelhurst is?
I used to live in Laurelhurst.
Yeah.
So do you take your cats out? Do you take your cats out like everybody walks dogs down there?
Absolutely.
Do you take them out in strollers or how do you do that?
Oh yeah, you can find me anywhere. I take my cats out in stores. I take them out to the park. We go hiking at Mount Tabor. We go hiking at the Gorge. We go everywhere together.
Wonderful. We'll keep on spreading the love. Thank you so much.
I
highly appreciate all your support. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. So I think I've kind of alluded to it a little bit, and so have you, Mo Show, but I think it's safe to say that the Mo Show video, a lot of people, maybe most people really know, is Cat Bath Rap, in which you are rapping while giving ravioli a bath.
So, absolutely.
I mean, sounds like that's the general part of the care for the cats, but at what point do you think, hey, I should film this and put this up too?
You know, I think that's the beauty of what I do. I really don't think about it. I feel like when you plan things, I plan some stuff, but I didn't think about it. Literally, that's just what I do. I like to freestyle a lot. Like, I just like to just start busting rhymes. And I was just like, I'm going to bust some rhymes while I'm giving them a bath. And I just recorded it. Like, I don't know. That's just how my brain works. It was bath time, and I just grabbed ravioli, and I was like, yo, and I just started rapping. that was it.
And is it always, do you always have someone there to ready to shoot the videos?
Absolutely, yeah. My cat lady, she holds me down. My cat lady is always ready to shoot or, you know, point the camera when I'm feeling like I want to put something out.
Yeah.
Sure.
And speaking of Cat Lady, this being Wednesday, isn't this sort of Cat Lady Wednesday?
Oh, it's beautiful Cat Lady Wednesday, for sure.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the cat ladies in the world. I love you.
Yeah, there you go. So again, this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Sprouse. My guest is Mo Sho, who, as you probably gathered, specializes in rapping about cats. His videos often go viral, and just released a new single, Cat Wine. And he's got a YouTube channel, of course, active on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And usually it's I Am Mo Sho rather than just Mo Sho to find more directly those...
They can find all of my songs on... No, it's okay. They can find all of my songs on iTunes. I'm available on iTunes, Google Play, and everything like that. Just put in I Am Mo Sho and get some kitty jams.
So, Mo Sho, toward the end of last year, you made a video for the Oregon Humane Society promoting adoption of,
absolutely,
of course, cats. How did you already have a relationship with them, or did they approach you? How did this come together?
Oh... No. I've always had a relationship, you know, because I'm in the animal business, so they knew who I was. I knew who they were. I've mm-hmm. always been fans. They've been a fan of me. The cat adoption video was purely my idea. I just I wanted to put my whole warming touch heart on adopting cats, and I created the song, and I wanted to shoot the video there. So I just gave them a call, and I said, "Hey, look, this is what I want to do," and they loved it, and they said, sure. They welcomed me with open arms, and they gave me full access to do what I needed to do. And that's how that happened.
What did they say about the results? I mean, were they able to sort of quantify? I mean, it's probably a little tricky to do, but were they able to say, hey, this is kind of what happened to our cat adoptions in the wake of this video being released?
Or? Oh, absolutely. Okay, so don't quote me on these exact numbers, but it's around this figure. I do know all of the cats in that music video that you're watching have been adopted, and we did over 125 adoptions off that video alone within the first few weeks, within a week of that video being released, because that was around Christmas season, and we were almost done our goal for adopting cats around Christmas season once that video came out. It was very successful.
That's great. Now, would you be, if another shelter or organization said, hey, we'd like to get some of the Mo Sho magic,
mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to do that, or is that kind of specific to the Oregon Humane Society?
Oh no! I'm spreading my help out to everyone. I'm actually doing a show in Oklahoma at the end of March for another Humane Society down there. So my love stretches to everyone. I got into this to spread my love everywhere to everyone.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one thing before I know there's some other cool things coming up that I want to touch on before we run out of time. But one obsession of mine, so it's sort of become an obsession periodically of this radio show, is declawing cats. So how do you feel about the declaw procedure?
Oh, I'm not with it.
Yeah.
I don't support that. Never declaw. If you watch any of my videos, you can see a lot. I put that message in a lot of my videos. Cats need their paws, so you better not declaw, you know, or show ravioli pull up on y'all. So I'm not for it. Never declaw. Cats need their paws. They need their claws, period. So that's how I feel about that whole thing. I can never do it to my cats, and I don't stand for it.
Well, no, that's the thing. There are a number of your videos where there are raps about don't declaw, which I think is really great. Because, again, part of what's cool about what you do in so many ways is just people feel good about it. I mean, the woman that called in, and just with the Facebook posts I've done, I've gotten so many people weighing in that, frankly, I almost never hear from otherwise with other guests who just said, oh, I love Mo Sho. I love that guy. That's great. And talking about their favorite video. So the idea that there's can be that kind of response. And of course, anytime now that I think that you post a video, there's going to be huge tension and a lot of eyes on it and ears. So I think something like, hey, don't declaw, and just getting that message across in that context is a really effective way to get people thinking about that. Because a part of the problem with declaw is a lot of people just don't think about it. They get it done as a matter of course. They don't really know what their cats are in for and what happens as a result of that. So anything that kind of gets them to take a moment is great.
I think when people get it done, like I don't think they really know what is really happening. And I think probably educating someone on the matter will definitely save a few cats, save a lot of cats' lives. If you go into detail and explain what is actually happening. And that's why I try to convey my message, because it is really, we need to save cats from that. So that's where I stand at with it. And I'm hoping that the message that I'm spreading is touching people and that people can hear me.
For sure. Because again, I think a lot of people, they might adopt a cat and get it spayed and neutered, whatever, some shots. And as part of that package, a lot of times declaw is offered and they don't even know kind of necessarily that what they're agreeing to. I mean, there are people who, of course, do want to declaw their cats, but to save the furniture and whatever. That's a whole different matter,
right.
but anyway, so I just think that's really cool that in addition to all the fun and great charm and stuff that goes on, there are some important messages, obviously pro-adoption and anti-declaw, really notable amongst them. So we're just in the last moment or two here, Mosho, but what's next? Okay. I think you mentioned the thing in Oklahoma, but I think even more immediately, there's a couple things even coming up this weekend. Where, just because you never know where people are listening online, where are you going to be?
Okay.
There's the thing, I think, on the 11th and on the 13th, et cetera.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can find me. So right now, okay, so I'm going to be on the news tomorrow at Katana. I'm going to be at March 11th, that's Saturday. I'm going to be in Salem for the Cat Video Festival.
And what is that? I thought, boy, if there's something perfect for a Mosho to be at, it's the Cat Video Festival. But what exactly is that?
Well, it's the first one. So
This
is the first Cat Video Festival here in Salem, Oregon. It's the first shot, so this is just going to be, it's a bunch of internet videos. I'm going to give out awards, and it's going to be great.
Are you getting an award, or are you presenting the awards as kind of the...
I'm performing, and I'm doing the meet and greet. I'm signing autographs.
Nice.
That's what I'll be doing.
Cool.
Yeah, for sure.
And then...
South by Southwest in Texas.
Yeah, so that's Monday, right? South by Southwest?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's also, I think you're performing and sounds like a meet and greet as well there.
Yes, I'll be performing, me and Manny the French Bulldog, me, Ravioli, and Manny will have a meet and greet, and I'll be performing down there at the venue as well, down in Texas for sure.
So the Mosho phenomenon continues to spread, and people are... That's awesome, man. Well, I really appreciate you making the time. We've been speaking with Mosho. Again, it's the best way to find all his different platforms, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, et cetera, is I Am Mosho, M-O-S-H-O-W, and just I Am in front of that. And Mosho, thank you so much for making the time to join us today on Talking Animals and getting up kind of extra early to do so. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. And to all my fans, Mosho EP on the way, coming out within a few weeks.
All right, cool. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that for sure. All right, Mosho, thanks again, and give our best to the cats.
No problem. Thank you for having me. You have a great day.
All right, you too. In a few moments, I'll speak briefly with Have Gun Will Travel singer-songwriter Matt Burke about the band's dog-centric new music video for their song Good Old Shakespeare. Right now, it's time to step into the comedy corner with Bill Burr, Talking Animals' favorite, whose new special on Netflix, by the way, is fantastic. This is part of a piece called Dog Trainer in today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
Yeah, I come back 4 days later, the dog's laying at the guy's feet, right? He's rubbing her belly, she's reaching up, playing with his goatee. And he goes, go ahead, have a seat. Why don't you take me through your day with this dog? Immediately, I started getting like this First 48 vibe, right? Like they're coming at me. So I got like defensive. I'm like, what do you mean? I take it for a hike every morning. He goes, that's good. Anything, special happen on the hike? I'm like, well, I don't know. She takes it. I pick it up. It's like, all right, easy. You play any games with her? I go, yeah, at the end of the hike. I let her, for reward for going on the hike, I let her run up the stairs by herself. I go, go on, Cleo. I let her run up the stairs, and I count 5-1,000, and then I run up there, and then we start wrestling. Put her in a headlock, sweep her front legs, right? But her tail's wagging, She's not growling. I go, that's a good thing, right? He's like, no, it's horrible. I'm like, why? He goes, you just taught your dog to claim the house and then fight for it every day after the hike. No wonder this thing's trying to attack the mailman, So then I got upset. I'm like, wait a minute, dude, you're telling me like I can't even play with my dog? He's like, no, you can play with it, but you got to bring that energy back down. The problem is you keep amping this thing up, getting that Mike Singletary look on his face. Then by the time you walk out, doesn't matter if you're relaxed. Mentally, the dog is like walking through the tunnel at the Rose Bowl like, this is what we play for. Somebody hit somebody.
That was Bill Burr with a portion of a piece called Dog Trainer, taken from an earlier stand-up special. You people are all the same. Again, his great new special can be seen at the moment on Netflix. Now on to my conversation with Matt Burke of the fab band Have Gun Will Travel about the heavy canine presence in their new video for the song Good Old Shakespeare. This is Matt Burke on Talk Animals. Good morning, Matt.
Duncan, how you doing? Nice to talk to you.
Likewise. So to get started, for those listening who are maybe unfamiliar with the song, maybe you could just talk a little bit about Good Old Shakespeare itself, and then we'll get into the video side of it.
Okay. Well, it's a song that's off of our album, Science from an Easy Chair, which is a concept record about Ernest Shackleton, the British explorer. About 100 years ago or so, he went on an expedition down to Antarctica and took a crew with them, and they took a bunch of sled dogs and everything that you would take on an Antarctic expedition, and ran into trouble. The ship was crushed in the ice, and they had to basically set up camp on ice floes for quite a while. And eventually, the dogs had to be put down, and so that being kind of part of the story, that's where the initial inspiration for Good Old Shakespeare came from. He was one of the team, one of the pack leaders on the expedition.
And then how did you guys arrive at the concept for the video? I mean, certainly there are any number of things one could do to visually represent a song like Good Old Shakespeare. How did you guys land on this one?
Honestly, I'm not sure where the initial idea came from. It was just kind of like...
Then I'm going to take credit for it. How about that?
Yeah, it was
okay.
You.
Thank you.
I was listening to Talking Animals.
That's it.
Came up with the idea, but we sent out... you know, we kind of got the word out on social media that we were going to be putting together the video for it, and that we wanted, you know, fans and friends and whoever, family members, to send pictures or short videos of their dogs. And we put it together into a video.
And how early, Matt, even though it's not clear other than me trying to take credit for it, how the idea actually came about, how early in the process did you guys decide, well, we want to crowdsource this video because this just kind of lends itself to it, or whatever your thinking was?
Yeah, it was pretty early on. It was, you know, we've kind of been sitting on the idea for quite a while, and I started kind of putting together, you know, once we kind of got the word out, people responded right away and started sending in pictures, and we got, you know, all kinds of pictures and videos and stuff like that, and I really tried to make sure that we got at least one photo or one video from each of the, you know, each of the pets, each of the submissions that was sent in, so that we could kind of make it all inclusive, and we wanted everybody to kind of feel a part of it, you know?
Yeah, well, that's impressive, because I remember we touched base back when you guys were first saying, hey, why don't you guys send people, we're looking to have people send in photos or short videos, and
right.
I think within a day or so of when you guys had sort of put out the word, it sounded like you were buried in submissions.
Yeah.
So but it's great that given that you were able to work in that many. I mean, of course, it helps that a lot of cases along the way, there's side-by-side photos of great dogs and stuff,
right,
and
exactly.
Some clips.
So we tried to kind of work it that way so that, you know, we're getting at least everybody's getting in there, you know, one way or another. We tried to accommodate as many as we could.
And it's only been out a few days, really, at this point. What sort of response has the video drawn?
Oh, it's been great.
We
had somebody made kind of like the initial announcement through the No Depression website. So they kind of like, we kind of like premiered the video last week, and it's been getting a lot of views, and a lot of people have been very positive with the reactions.
Yeah, and I'm sure, again, the people that submitted their photos and videos, although as I recall, I think some were, the idea was going to be some of dogs that maybe were no longer with us, and some were dogs that are very, very much with us. So I'm sure it's kind of a poignant and bittersweet for people to see it, but kind of neat in a way to as part of this great song and this great music video, to see their canine pals there.
It is, yeah. We've heard, you know, from a few of our friends who, you know, they sent in pictures of a dog who's no longer with them, and, you know, how touched they are to see that,
yeah,
see the video.
It's a neat way to sort of be memorialized, I guess, you know,
yeah,
in a way that's not not common.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So on a slightly different note, I saw where you guys are headed, back into the studio, I guess, a few days ago. And
yep,
presumably that's to start work on the successor to Science from an Easy Chair, right?
Yeah, it's that time again, you know.
Yeah.
We've had the record out for, it's been like a year and a half or so. And we've got kind of a batch of new songs and stuff that we're excited to get working on. And so we just got back into the studio over the weekend. And so, yeah, we're now the next chapter begins, you know.
Yeah.
We're kind of start working on the songs and see where it goes.
And what kind of sneak preview can you give us? I mean, will it be a concept album again, like Science from an Easy Chair, or sort of just a more loose kind of collection of songs this time?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, it's definitely not going to be a concept record. I think as you know, the songwriter, it's kind of, the pendulum's kind of swinging the other way.
Okay.
This time around.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really happy with how that record turned out, but I definitely don't feel the need to go in that direction with the next one.
I see. Okay.
So it's going to be more, you know, I think probably more personal songs and, you know, that kind of a thing. And I don't know, we're kind of, we're getting excited. We have a lot of pretty, like, up-tempo, kind of rocking songs that we're excited to, you know, to get in and start working on.
And like you say, I'm sure while it was kind of a cool challenge and the album, you know, Science from Easy Chair was really great, I'm sure at the same time this next one saying, okay, here's just a great song. It doesn't have to necessarily conform to anything. It's just a great song, or it's just how I feel,
right,
about
exactly,
something. So it must be kind of liberating.
Not like there's not going to, you know, as far as I can tell so far, there isn't some sort of a you know, common thread necessarily.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, let's just kind of like make the best collection of songs,
right,
to make and and put out a record.
Cool. And on a perhaps related note, you guys are playing at the Gasparilla Music Festival on Saturday. How many songs from the forthcoming album might folks expect to hear in terms of a sneak preview?
As far as what we're looking at right now, we're going to be playing 3 of the new songs.
Great. Neat.
During our set, and we're going to be playing Saturday at 1 o'clock on the main stage there. So yeah, we're really excited, and we've been looking forward to this one. It's going to be a good one. We put the whole band together. I think we're going to be about 7 guys.
Wow.
On this one,
the full compliment. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. And of course, I guess I have to ask: will there be any dogs involved in the performance at any point?
Probably not in the performance, but
yeah.
I mean, if there's any dogs there, you know.
That's a bonus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Matt, thanks so much for joining us again. Love the new video. Can't wait to hear the new album, and it sounds like it's going to be a fun mixture of just great, great music as always. And thanks for joining us today on Talking Animals, and have fun on the show Saturday.
Thanks for having me, Duncan. It was nice talking to you.
Likewise, man. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
Coming up at 11... on WNF, it's Rob Lori and Radioactivity. Rolling into the noon hour constitutes a full 2 hours of interviews, phone calls, news, and more with contributions from members of the stellar WNF staff, including, of course, Everyday Ethics with Craig Kopp. Meanwhile, it's a prize for Name That Animal Tune. I'll be offering a Talk Animals t-shirt right now. It's time for animal news and announcements. On at least a global scale, or almost any scale that you would use, I think we almost have to start with this terrific story. I took this from the New York Times, but everybody was covering it. Dateline Paris. One or more poachers shot and killed a 4-year-old white rhinoceros in a wildlife park near Paris. Sawed off one of its horns and then escaped, officials at the park said on Tuesday. The head of the park told the local radio station that he and his staff were quote-unquote extremely shocked. There has never been a case like this in a zoo in Europe, an assault of such violence, evidently for the stupid trafficking of rhinoceros horns. The wildlife park was about 30 miles west of Paris, said in a statement on Facebook that the rhinoceros, a male named Vince, was found dead by one of his caretakers Tuesday morning with gunshot wounds to his head. And to go on further, but a story, I didn't get to any animal news or announcements last week, but this story that I just mentioned kind of comes on the heels of a story I was going to read last week, which is, this is, I guess, from USA Today, a beloved hippopotamus named Gustavito died in El Salvador's National Zoo Sunday from injuries sustained in a violent attack last week. Police are currently searching for those responsible for entering Gustavito's enclosure and beating him with blunt and sharp objects. Zoo officials noticed on Thursday that Gustavito was acting strange. He would not come out of the water in his enclosure or eat. Officials found bruises, puncture wounds, and lacerations on the hippo's entire body. I mean, what is going on? Seriously. Now, locally, this is kind of notable news because we've talked about this more than a few times on the show over the years. Dade City, Florida, dateline for this. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, the USDA, has taken strong enforcement action against Dade City's wild things. According to the agency's February 15th order, the roadside zoo has been ordered to cease and desist its quote-unquote swim with tigers encounters and pay a $21,000 civil penalty, and it faces a 60-day suspension of its exhibitor's license. Dade City's Wild Thing has until March 17th to appeal, or the ruling will become final and effective on March 22nd. So, you probably gathered, and we talked about this a number of times on the show, but you can go to that place, or you could, and not only touch little tiger cubs, but you could get into like a pool, a little pool, and swim with these terrified cubs who are somehow immersed in the water and trying to desperately get to the side of the pool. Anyway, rough. So good for the USDA stepping up, which isn't always the case with some of their things that are in their purview. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. This is a giveaway, but please only participate if you haven't won something from WNF in the last 90 days. There'll be a prize, a Talking Animals t-shirt, to the first person that calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. We have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. Looks like we have some people that might be able to guess. Let's see what happens here. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. You're live on the air. Can you name that animal tune?
Yes, that is the theme from Pink Panther.
Correct. What is your first name, sir?
Say it again.
What is your first name?
Jeremy.
Jeremy, okay, you have won. You have correctly named that animal tune. I'm going to come back and get your information and send you a Talking Animals t-shirt. Thanks. Stand by. Okay, we do have a winner, folks. It was indeed the theme from the Pink Panther. We have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Rob Laura is up next with what amounts to 2 hours of radio activity. I'll be back next Wednesday with another edition of Talking Animals. Please visit TalkingAnimals.net for audio archives of every show we've ever broadcast. iTunes podcasts are available there as well. There are also links to our Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, the show and or me personally, and follow me on Twitter. You can also subscribe to our newsletter to find out about our guests a couple of days beforehand and other scintillating news from the Talking Animals world. That's all found at TalkingAnimals.net. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. This is Talking Animals on WMNF, Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weeki Wachee and beyond, community conscious radio, homegrown, handpicked music and news. We'll see you again, or at least speak to you again, next Wednesday at 10 a.m. on Talking Animals. Thanks.